Friendship According to Humphrey, Chapter 1, Strange Change. Bump, bump, bump. Mrs. Brisbane and I were headed back to Longfellow School after the long winter holiday. But there were a lot more bumps in the road since the last time I rode in her small blue station wagon. "Now, Humphrey," Mrs. Brisbane said. She was interrupted by another bump. "Don't be surprised, bump, if there are a few changes, bump, in room 26, bump." My stomach felt slightly queasy as I hung on tightly to my ladder, so I had a hard time understanding what she was telling me. What did she mean by changes? "While you were home with Bert, bump, I came back to school to get things all set." I was home with her husband, Bert, a lot over the holidays. And as much as I like him, I was worn out from running mazes a couple of times a day. Mr. Brisbane loves to watch me run mazes. At least back in school, I could catch 40 winks once in a while. And since I am a classroom hamster, I belong in the classroom. My stomach calmed down a bit as Mrs. Brisbane pulled her car into a parking space. "Now, what about these changes?" I asked, but it came out as squeak, 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 as usual. "It's good to shake things up once in a while, Humphrey," Mrs. Brisbane assured me as she opened the car door. "You'll see." I was already shaken up from the bumpy ride. Then a blast of icy wind made me shiver, and I couldn't see a thing because Mrs. Brisbane had thrown a wool scarf over my cage. I didn't mind as long as I was on the way back to my classroom where I'd see all my friends again. Just thinking about them gave me a warm feeling. Or maybe it was the heat from the school furnace as we walked in the front door. "Hi, Sue, are we on for today?" a familiar voice called out. I couldn't see Miss Loomis, but I recognized her voice. Miss Loomis taught a class down the hall. She was also Mrs. Brisbane's friend. "Sure, Angie, how about after morning recess?" "See you then," said Miss Loomis. Finally, Mrs. Brisbane set my cage down in room 26 and removed the scarf. When she did, I was in for a shock. Something unspeakable had happened to my classroom. For one thing, the tables faced the wrong direction. They used to point toward the front of the room. Now they were sideways. Instead of being arranged in neat rows like before, the tables were clumped together in groups. Mrs. Brisbane's desk had moved to the corner of the room. Pictures of people I'd never seen before replaced the happy snowmen that had covered the bulletin board in December. I was so dizzy from all the changes, I didn't notice the room filling up until, lower your voice, AJ yelled, "Hiya, Humphrey," as he came out of the cloakroom. Soon my other friend stopped by to say hello. "Did you have a good vacation?" asked Miranda Golden. Miranda is an almost perfect human. That's why I think of her as Golden Miranda. "My mother says to tell you hi," Speak Up Saya said in her sweet, soft voice. "Hey, Humphrey Dumpty," Garth shouted. That made Gail snicker, but I didn't mind. She laughed at everything. At that moment, the bell rang. "Class, look for your names and please take your seats now," Mrs. Brisbane said. There was a lot of thumping and bumping as my classmates located their new seats. Now I had a better view of some of the students who used to sit on the opposite side of the room, like Don't Complain Mandy Payne, Sit Still Seth Stevenson, and I Heard That Kirk Chen. Maybe it is good to shake things up once in a while. Then I noticed something odd. there was a stranger in room 26, sitting near Saya, Gale, and Kirk. "Mrs. Brisbane, she doesn't belong here," I squeaked out loud. "She's in the wrong room." Maybe Mrs. Brisbane didn't hear me. Class, as you can see, we're making some changes this year. And one of our changes is our brand new pupil, the teacher announced. "Come here, Tabitha." The new girl seemed scared as she got up and stood next to Mrs. Brisbane. "This is Tabitha Clark, and I want you all to welcome her. Tabitha, why don't you tell us something about yourself?" The new girl looked down and shook her head. Mrs. Brisbane quickly turned back to the class. "We'll do that later. Now, who would like to be in charge of showing Tabitha around today?" "Me," a voice called out. Of course it was Raise Your Hand Heidi Hopper, who always forgets to raise her hand. "Hands, please, Heidi." I think Mandy had her hand up first. "Mandy, you will be Tabitha's buddy. I expect each of you to introduce yourself to Tabitha and include her in your activities." She turned to the girl. "I know you'll make a lot of good friends in room 26. You may sit down now." The girl kept staring down at the floor as she returned to her seat. She looked as if she needed a friend. I was so busy watching her, I only half listened to what Mrs. Brisbane was saying. Was she really talking about poultry? "After all, this is Longfellow School," she said. "And as I hope you know, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a famous American poet." "Poetry, nothing to do with chickens or turkeys, thank goodness. I have to admit, I'm a little scared of things with feathers. Ever since my early days at Pedorama, I still have nightmares about the day a large green parrot escaped and flung himself at my cage, screeching, 'Yum, yum, time to eat, bawk!' He was still shrieking as Carl, the store clerk, carried him away." That unpleasant memory was interrupted when someone blurted, "I'm a poet and I don't know it. My feet show it. They're Longfellows." "I heard that, Kirk," said Mrs. Brisbane. "Now, I was saying, much of this term will be spent reading and writing poetry." The groans were loud. "I guess some people are afraid of poetry, even without feathers." Seth squirmed in his seat and pretended to pound his head on the table. "Poetry," he moaned. "Ugh." "Sit still, Seth," said Mrs. Brisbane. Sitting still wasn't easy for Seth. Now that he was practically right in front of me, I could see him wiggling and jiggling in his chair, which made Gail Morgenstern laugh. "Stop giggling, Gail," Mrs. Brisbane warned. Gail stopped giggling and started hiccuping. "Please go get a drink of water," Mrs. Brisbane told her. She turned to the new girl. "Tabitha, please put that toy away." Everybody stared at Tabitha, including me. She was cradling a scruffy, stuffed bear in her arms. The gray bear had cotton coming out of his ears and wore washed-out blue overalls with a button missing. Even his smile seemed a little faded. "Now, please," said Mrs. Brisbane. It was quiet in the room, thank goodness. I'm afraid if Gail had been there, we would have heard pearls of laughter and heaps of hiccups. Tabitha slid the shabby bear into the slot in her table without a word. Right about then, Principal Morales marked through the door. "Sorry for interrupting, Mrs. Brisbane. I just wanted to personally welcome you all back to school." The principal looked spiffy, with a tie that had little pencils all over it. He always wore a tie because he was the most important person at Longfellow School. "Thank you, Mr. Morales," said Mrs. Brisbane. "We have a new student, Tabitha Clark, and a whole new setup for our class, as you can see. Welcome, Tabitha, said the principal. I'm sure you'll love it here in room 26. I'm glad to see that our friend Humphrey is back as well. He walked all the way across the classroom to my cage. Glad to see you, I squeaked in my loudest squeak. Hi, old pal, he greeted me. He turned back to the rest of the class. You can all learn a lot from Humphrey, and I wish you a very successful semester. After he left, I turned my attention back to Tabitha. She was still staring straight down. I couldn't see her face clearly, but it was almost as red as her copper-colored hair. I guess I watched her a long time because suddenly the recess bell rang. Come on, Tabitha, let's get our coats, Mandy said. Tabitha slipped the stuffed bear into her pocket and followed Mandy to the cloakroom. As soon as the students were gone, Miss Loomis bustled into the room. Two pink dots of excitement colored her cheeks, and her curls bounced in all directions. Are you ready? Should we do it? She asked Mrs. Brisbane excitedly. Why not? My teacher answered. I'll make room for him now. They walked over to the table in front of the window where my cage sits. Sure, he'll fit right here, said Miss Loomis, pointing to a spot near my house. Mrs. Brisbane slid some of my supplies down to the end of the table. Now, you're sure he's not a lot of trouble? Oh, no, not nearly as much trouble as a hamster, Miss Loomis answered. What, what, what? Not nearly as much trouble as a hamster? Since when have I caused any trouble in room 26? Since when did I not totally dedicate myself to helping my classmates and teacher? Surprisingly, Mrs. Brisbane didn't correct her. I was about to squeak up for myself when the bell rang again and Miss Loomis scurried out of the room. I wondered who wasn't as much trouble as I am. He, Miss Loomis had said. He who? Curiosity made my whiskers twitch and my paws tingle. My fur was practically standing on end as the tables filled up. I saw Tabitha slip her bear out of her pocket. Heidi saw it too and rolled her eyes at Gail, who almost giggled, but managed to stop herself. Now, class, I told you there were some changes in our room this year, Mrs. Brisbane announced. Another of the changes is a brand new classroom pet. I think he'll add a lot to room 26. New classroom pet? Why did she want a new classroom pet when she already had a wonderful, terrific, okay, perfect classroom pet, namely me. Was I being replaced? Miss Loomis entered, carrying a large glass tank. I couldn't see what it was because my classmates were standing up, craning their necks, oohing and aahing and chattering away. It's a frog, shouted Heidi. Miss Loomis set the glass box right next to my cage. Now I could see some water, rocks, and something green and really, really, really lumpy. Meet our new frog, said Mrs. Brisbane. Miss Loomis will tell you about him. Well, boys and girls, as you may know, we have a frog in our classroom. His name is George, and he's a bullfrog. Right before the holidays, one of our students brought in this frog to keep George company. We named him Og the Frog. Unfortunately, George didn't like Og. And being a bullfrog, George let us know he didn't like Og by making a lot of noise. That upset Og, I guess, because he would leap and splash all day long while George was croaking. My classmates laughed, but I didn't. On the one paw, I could see why George didn't want another frog to compete with. On the other paw, croaking at Og wasn't a very friendly way to act. "With all the noise, we were having trouble getting any work done at all," Miss Loomis continued. "So I asked Mrs. Brisbane if your class would like to have Og, and she said yes. He's a very quiet frog. Do you like him?" My friends all yelled, "Yes!" Everyone except Tabitha, who was secretly petting her little bear. Somebody went, "Ribbit, ribbit," in a funny croaking voice. It wasn't the frog. "I heard that, Kirk. That's quite enough. Og can provide the sound effects from now on. I think he'll make a nice friend for Humphrey," Mrs. Brisbane said. "A friend for me? At least he wasn't my replacement. Phew! But I was already friends with every single person in room 26, so she didn't really need to find me another one. Still, I didn't want to act unfriendly the way George had." After Miss Loomis left, Mrs. Brisbane let the students have a closer look at Og. Seth tapped at the glass. "Don't do that, Seth," the teacher warned him. "You'll frighten him."
"He doesn't seem frightened of anything," Miranda observed.
"I think he's smiling," added Kirk. "That must mean he's happy." For once, Gail didn't giggle, which seemed to bother Kirk. "Get it? Hoppy? Happy?" he tried to explain. Gail rolled her eyes and groaned, which didn't make Kirk hoppy at all. Mrs. Brisbane called to the new girl. "Come see Og, Tabitha." Tabitha stared down at her table and shook her head no. "Come on, Tabitha," Mandy sounded impatient. Again, Tabitha shook her head. "She hasn't wanted to do anything all day," Mandy grumbled. "Mandy," Mrs. Brisbane warned her.
"Is he really a frog?" Richie stared hard at Og, who stared right back. "Don't frogs live in water?"
"Some do," said Mrs. Brisbane. "And some frogs live in trees.
Og is a common green frog. He likes to live near the water, but not in it. That's why he has a tank that's half land and half water."
A common green frog didn't sound very interesting, but Og had certainly attracted the attention of my classmates.
"Can I take care of Og?" AJ asked loudly.
"Lower your voice, AJ," said Mrs. Brisbane. "We will all take care of him." Once the students returned to their seats, Mrs. Brisbane held up a book on the care of frogs. "We'll have to study this," she explained. "Taking care of Og will be quite different from caring for Humphrey. After all, Humphrey is a warm-blooded mammal. Og is a cold-blooded amphibian."
"Amphibian, that's nothing like a mammal. The very word made my warm blood run cold. I hoped that she would never, ever put that word on a spelling test."
Mrs. Brisbane looked through the book.
"Aha," she said. "It says that the common green frog is a medium-sized frog with a calm nature. It makes a distinctive twanging sound."
Boing!
I almost fell off my ladder. What on earth could that noise be?
Then I heard another sound, the laughter of my classmates.
"That certainly is a distinctive twanging sound," said Mrs. Brisbane, looking puzzled. Boing!
This time the noise was clearly coming from the frog.
"What kind of way is that to talk? Aren't frogs supposed to say ribbit?"
Mrs. Brisbane turned toward Og's glass box.
"Thank you for the demonstration, Og." Then I heard boing, boing, boing.
It didn't come from the frog this time.
"I heard that, Kirk Chen," said the teacher.
She continued to talk on and on about amphibians and their life cycle.
"What does he eat?" Heidi called out.
"Hands, please, Heidi," said Mrs. Brisbane wearily.
"Mostly insects. Miss Loomis gave me a container of crickets."
"Cool," said Kirk. Everybody else in the class groaned.
Ew. When I finished gagging, I squeaked, Live insects? Not that anyone was listening to me, especially not Og, who calmly sat there doing absolutely nothing. At the end of the day, as the students gathered up their books and coats and filed past our table, at least half of them said, Bye, Og, or Catch you later, Augie. Not one of my classmates said goodbye to me. I guess they all forgot. Mandy stayed for a minute after class. Mrs. Brisbane, you told me to be friendly to that new girl, but she isn't very friendly back. Don't complain, Mandy, said the teacher. It's not easy to be the new kid in the classroom. Put yourself in her shoes. Give her some time. After all, we've got the whole semester ahead of us. A whole semester ahead of us, and I had to spend it with a frog? Mrs. Brisbane had shaken things up all right, and I felt queasy all over again.